The Daily Ding is brought to you by Game Time, your new go-to app for the best deals on last-minute tickets. Did you know NBA ticket prices tend to drop right before the game starts? Game Time tracks prices in real time from thousands of trusted sellers, then shows you all the best last-minute deals with prices up to 60% off. More than 12 million fans have downloaded the Game Time app and discovered the fastest, easiest way to get into the game. My favorite feature, you can get tickets in two taps, a two-tap checkout. That's efficiency. That's how you're supposed to do it in the NBA. Two taps gets you tickets, gets you checked out, and you're ready to go to the game every single time. So head to the App Store or Google Play Store now to download Game Time and score awesome deals on last-minute tickets.
Welcome to the Daily Ding on the Athletic Podcast Network.
This is how it goes. When I hoop, I have no friends. On the court, they know not to talk to me, but Steven's a real close friend of mine. But on inside those lines, there's no friends. Spalding, that's my friend and my teammates, and that's it. But before the game, after the game, I'll talk to my guys. I'm going to talk to them right now, but it doesn't mean that I don't have friends. During the game, I don't. It's that simple. If you try to be my friend, I ain't going to say to you.
Try in Spanish, but I ain't really that good at Spanish.
I can't even put into words my level of disgust, frustration, and beyond.
Good morning. Welcome to the Daily Ding. Happy Tuesday morning. We watched all the action from a jam-packed Monday night in the NBA, so you didn't have to. I'm Zach Harper, joined by Mo Dakhil with Rob Lopez, stuffing the ballot for Player of the Week. Coming up on today's Daily Ding, Chris Paul is back in Houston. Phoenix is trying to prove they're for real, and Trae Young and Karl-Anthony Towns are the best players in the world right now. But first, that same Trae Young was trying to prove to the Philadelphia 76ers that they should be worried in the Eastern Conference. Didn't quite work out. Sixers 105, Hawks 103 in Atlanta. Trae Young, coming off that Eastern Conference Player of the Week, had a pretty good game. He had 19 points in the first half, but only finished with 25 points, 9 assists, 4 rebounds, did have 7 turnovers, didn't shoot well at 7 of 20 from the field, but had 9 of 10 from the free throw line. A lot happened in this game, Mo. Trae was, like, again, he was great in the first half. Sixers adjusted in the second half by really forcing the ball away from him by ball denial in the second half. And then just a crazy sequence in the last couple minutes. So John Collins misses a tip-in lob from Trae Young with about 1:15 left. That would have put the Hawks up one. Then they steal a Ben Simmons pass. Cam Reddish travels on the move. DeAndre Hunter gets blocked by Josh Richardson on the next possession. They get to a point where Trae Young, they're down three. Trae Young drives. He makes a free throw. He misses a free throw. John Collins tips it in to tie it. And then Trae Young pretended that he missed it on purpose. Joel Embiid comes down. He gets fouled. He makes two free throws. Vince Carter misses a running three-point shot that would have won it at the end. But the Hawks, you know, I don't know if they're for real, Mo. They look good through the first couple of games, and they did push the Sixers team quite a bit.
Yeah, I don't think they're for real. I think we have this kind of happen every year. We have a couple teams get hot right away and look good. But we saw the youth of them. We saw where their struggles come from, turnovers and things like that. Trae Young missing that free throw, pretending he made, pretending he did that on purpose is a flat out lie. But that's a big deal kind of coming up down the stretch. You got to be able to knock those free throws down. John Collins sort of saved his butt a bit there. The way I just look at it, it was just an ugly game altogether. I mean, the Sixers had like 22 turnovers or 20 turnovers or something. That's a game.
Hawks had like 21, 22 turnovers in that game, too.
I mean, it was just ugly all around. There was the Mike Scott got ejected for a flagrant two, which I thought was barely a flagrant one foul.
I thought it was a flagrant one because it wasn't really a basketball play, right? Like, it was weird. Like, who someone was coming down the court. I can't remember which Hawk it was, but he bumped them in a way that didn't look like a basketball play, right? And I think if he had jumped, if the Hawks player had jumped, it would have been a dangerous play, but he didn't jump. It was just a bump. So, like, I would have been cool with the flagrant one. The flagrant two was mind-boggling to me.
Yeah, like, that was like, we're just going to turn it to 11 right away, you know? And now where I was just like, that doesn't make any sense. That was weird.
And it wasn't a chippy game, right? Like, they weren't trying to keep things in line. Like, it was perfectly fine as a game.
He apologized to the guy afterwards. Right. He turned to the ref and said, "Can I go say I'm sorry?" Like, it wasn't even a malicious thing. He literally was just, "I'm going to stop the break here with a bump." And it turned out the guy ejected for the game.
Also, I mean, Joel Embiid had a monster dunk on John Collins, shimmying in his face, and he got a taunting technical.
Embiid rolling, and he slams for two in the face of John Collins.
We got to get rid of the taunting. If you dunk all over a dude's face, you should be able to celebrate. I mean, one of my favorite dunks of all times is Sean Kemp dunking. I don't even remember who it was, but dunking
Alton Lister. It was the Lister blister, man.
There we go. Dunking him into oblivion and then giving him the whole finger pointing stuff. Like nowadays we'd call that a technical, whereas I like to refer to that as fun. You know, you get dunked on, you got to let it go.
So here's my question about the Hawks and the Sixers. For the Hawks, when Trae Young kind of gets the ball taken out of his hands, and he passed incredibly in this game, but when he gets the ball taken out of his hands, where do the Hawks go for offense?
I think that's a question Lloyd Pierce is trying to figure out. I think
it looks really weird.
Really, if you're a Hawk player not named Trae Young, there's a couple things that should be running through your mind. Does Trae Young have the ball? Okay, what can I do to help Trae score or be in a position so that I give him a passing outlet? Or two, if Trae doesn't have the ball, it's what can I do to make sure Trae gets the ball now? And those should be the only thoughts really running through your mind if you're a Hawks player. Vince Carter's past his prime. Everybody else is just not quite on that level where they can create. So that's when you're looking at it for the Hawks, that's their really Achilles heels. If Trae Young's not creating for everybody, they're in trouble.
And then for Tobias Harris in this game, he kind of disappeared except for a big bucket with about 42 seconds left. Ben Simmons was a big part of this game early, and then he kind of disappeared a little bit. Joel Embiid finished 36 points, 13 rebounds, 5 assists, 3 steals. Did have 7 turnovers, but it was an efficient 36 points. Ben Simmons, 13, 6, and 6. Josh Richardson had 3 blocks in this game. Tobias Harris, 13 points on 5 of 16 shooting. John Collins had 16 and 8 for the Hawks. The Hawks also missed 10 free throws. The Sixers, 11 of 41 from 3 in this game. 11 of 41, Mo, but they did get the win. And I believe they are undefeated on the season at 3-0.
They are, and don't really expect them to make a lot more threes than that.
Other game of the night, Rockets 116, Thunder 112 in Houston. Chris Paul returns to Houston, had a tribute video. Most of the good moments of the night for him were in that tribute video. 15 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists on 6 of 14 shooting. Russell Westbrook plays against his old team for the first time. They'll play in Oklahoma City on January 9th. Russ had 21 points, 12 rebounds, 9 assists, 5 turnovers. Just an ugly shooting game in the first half for the Rockets. Rockets had PJ Tucker go 2 of 3 from 3-point range. The rest of the Rockets in the first half, 2 of 21 from 3-point range in the first half. They turned around the third quarter. They had a 39-point explosion in the third quarter. Mo, James Harden still can't shoot threes. It's weird. He was 3 of 14 in this game. He's really struggled with that shot, but he had 21 of 22 free throws. He missed the first free throw of the game, hit the next 21 in a row, ends up with 40 points. The Rockets kind of disappeared in the fourth quarter. They ended up rallying and you know, getting to the free throw line a bunch to kind of make this thing look a little bit better. But thoughts on Chris Paul's return and the way Russell Westbrook played against his old team?
Well, when you look at it with Chris Paul, I think this is Chris Paul's type of line now. We should just get used to that this year. With the Thunder, they're running everything through Shea. It's really not going to be his team. He's not going to have as much usage. He's kind of just going to be old man Chris Paul, just kind of hanging around there. So I think that's something we should start adjusting ourselves and getting used to seeing that. He might pull it out every now and then, and we might see vintage Chris, but that's not going to be something we're going to see on a regular basis. Yo, this is Russ is still getting triple doubles or close to it, which is something I wasn't expecting. I assumed with Harden, he wasn't going to get enough touches where he'd be able to get those triple doubles and those things. But he's kind of been the guy that's kept them going really these last few games. With Harden struggling to shoot the ball, he's able to fly up and down the court and get them in transition, kind of give them a little bit of a different change of pace sort of situation for them. So Harden's going to run ISO and slow it down. But when Russ gets it, he's flying up the court and trying to just blaze down there. And if you get down there, he'll find you for an open three, or he's going to try to finish at the rim.
Do you think it was weird for Steven Adams to battle Russell Westbrook for rebounds in this game and not just defer to him? They both finished with 12 rebounds, by the way.
Oh, I mean, I'm sure Steven Adams could have had like 15. I'm sure there's at least three instances where he thought like, oh, I got to let Russ get this. Oh, wait, crap.
Oh, wait, we don't do that anymore. That's my bad. Dennis Schroeder led the or he's tied for the lead with the Thunder in scoring at 22 points. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander also had 22. I have a theory that whenever Dennis Schroeder leads you in scoring, you're probably losing that game. In terms of the Rockets, you mentioned Russ. Russ had a huge offensive rebound that kind of put this thing away. James Harden badly missed a three, came up very short. Russ chased down the offensive rebound, then broke down a defender, drove into the lane, found PJ Tucker for a corner three. PJ Tucker, the only guy that could shoot on the night for the Rockets. He went 5 of 7 from three. The Rockets as a team, including Tucker, went 10 of 44 from deep. But PJ Tucker came up close. That pushed it to 6 points with 50 seconds left. Free throw game after that. There was one moment where the Rockets announcers were mocking the Warriors for being down 40 to this Thunder team a couple days ago, and it was a moment where Matt Bullard said, you know, kind of mockingly goes, "What happened to those guys? They came back down to earth, I guess." It reminded me of the scene in Neighbors, Ike Barinholtz and Seth Rogen, where Ike Barinholtz says,
"You were the only one of our friends that has a house and a kid."
Yeah,
it's like you're like 10 years older than everyone. You know,
you're divorced.
The point is.
That's what it reminded me of. It's like, you're still the Rockets, guys. You still lose to this Warriors team all the time. How are you mocking them, Matt Bullard? It doesn't make any sense, Mo.
It's almost like if they were to play right now, the Warriors would beat them just because of the arrogance and the hubris behind that. You haven't beaten them once yet, and now you're going to start talking this trash like you've gotten there. And now you're acting like we're the big bad boys on the block. Like, you're not even the best team in the Western Conference.
I'm not even convinced of the best team in Texas right now. San Antonio looks pretty good, but yeah, this Rockets team, look, they get the win. They get a good home win. They've struggled with some of this offense so far. They're making it up at the free throw line as they typically do, Mo. I don't know. Well, actually, I was going to say, I don't know if they can keep doing that because this is something they usually do, right? James Harden gets to the free throw line a lot. The 3-point shots eventually fall. I do like the way Russ is playing, though. Like you mentioned, I like the way Russ is playing. I think it's a good matchup so far, but they got to find a little bit more balance, in my opinion.
Yeah, they really need the one guy they really need to get going is Eric Gordon. He struggled to start the season, and that's the guy I'm waiting for him to figure out his role. And then I think the Rockets will begin to lift off.
All right, let's get to the news that you need to know for Tuesday. Not a lot of great news, but we got a lot of little tidbits for you. Karl Anthony Towns and Trae Young, like I mentioned earlier, named Eastern Conference and Western Conference Players of the Week. West for Karl Anthony Towns, obviously. East for Trae Young. Karl averaged 36 points and 3 steals, I think 13 rebounds as well. Trae Young averaged 38 points last week to get those honors. Rockets officially announced Gerald Green is out at least 6 months with a broken foot. Doesn't necessarily mean it's season ending, but it's pretty close to season ending. Maybe he could come back in the playoffs if they can make a bit of a deep run. The Bulls are reportedly closely monitoring Otto Porter's hip. He said he's been really sore, and the Bulls could put him on a load management regimen. That's per Casey Johnson of NBC Sports. They said Porter still isn't making the same impact that he made when he first came over from the Wizards in last February's trade. He doesn't look like he's moving well at all, or moving as well. Though he hasn't been listed on the injury report, so sources say the Bulls are closely monitoring Porter's hip. As if that isn't enough, Porter needed 6 stitches to close a cut in his mouth after taking an inadvertent Stanley Johnson elbow while taking a charge early in the second quarter. Porter stayed down on the court for several minutes, leaving a puddle of blood before retreating to the locker room. Get well soon, Otto. The weirder news, this is a lot like Taco Tuesday, guys, but Kawhi Leonard has filed trademarks for the applications of What It Do, Baby, and City Views Over Interviews. Per trademark lawyer Josh Gerben, Kawhi LLC, or Kawhi Leonard LLC, applied for the trademarks for a clothing brand. City Views Over Interviews is a terrible slogan. It sounds like something they would put on those Clippers shirts that they give out at Staples Center before the games. Guys, we got to stop with these corny little sayings. That's for Twitter, not for t-shirts. Detroit Pistons forward Markieff Morris has been fined $35,000 for directing inappropriate and offensive language toward a game official. And then some more serious news as the fires happened in California. LeBron James said he tweeted that he was forced to evacuate due to the wildfires. Said, man, these LA fires aren't no joke. Had an emergency evacuate my house, and I've been driving around with my family trying to get rooms. No luck so far. Found a place to accommodate us. Crazy night. This was all at 3:53 a.m. All right, 9 more games on the schedule from Monday night. Pistons 96, Pacers 94. No Reggie Jackson, no Jeremy Lamb in this game. Christian Wood had a game, 19 points, 12 rebounds, and 21 minutes off the bench. Pacers didn't grab their first lead in the game until 2:40 left. A Rose live with 28 seconds left was followed up by the Pacers missing threes from both Brogdon and TJ Warren. Pacers fall to 0-3. Luke Kennard missed a free throw. There was basket interference by Andre Drummond. It's just a lot of weird, bad basketball at the end of games tonight. Rose finished with 10 points on 16 shots off the bench. Drummond had 18 points and 18 rebounds, but also 5 turnovers. Domantas Sabonis led the Pacers with 21-14. Malcolm Brogdon had 15, 11, and 8, but shot just 5 of 17 from the field. Knicks 105, Bulls 98. A 15-0 run by the Knicks erased an 8-point deficit to take the lead over the final 3:33 of the game. It was a Bobby Portis revenge game, 28 points, 11 of them in the fourth quarter, including back-to-back threes that took the lead and then put the Knicks up 5. He hadn't made a three-pointer all season. He was 10 of 14 from the field and 4 of 4 from three-point range. Wendell Carter Jr., 20 points, 10 rebounds, 3 blocks. Sloppy game from Julius Randle. He had 13, 13, and 5 assists, but also 8 turnovers. Zach LaVine had a good start, but finished with just 21 points. RJ Barrett, big game, 19 points, 15 rebounds, 5 assists. So he was pretty good. Raptors 104, Magic 95 in Toronto. Very ugly game for this one. Old school jersey night, old school court night for the Raptors. Jonathan Isaac kept Orlando afloat. 24 points, hit 5 threes, had 7 rebounds, 3 steals, 2 blocks. Vucevic, no show. 5 points on 1 of 13, had 12 rebounds, 2 assists. Aaron Gordon, no show. 2 points, 1 of 6 from the field, 5 rebounds, 5 assists. Kyle Lowry took over when the Raptors kind of disappeared in the fourth quarter. Finished with 26 points, 6 assists, 5 rebounds, had 8 points and an assist for points 9 and 10 during a stretch in the fourth after Orlando had taken a 1-point lead. Pascal Siakam 24-9, 5 steals, 2 blocks for OG Anunoby. Ugly, ugly game. 38% combined shooting, 28% from deep. Bucks 129, Cavs 112 in Milwaukee. Bucks needed a 70-point second half to pull away from Cleveland, but Chris Middleton led them with 21 points. George Hill 19 off the bench. Pat Connaughton 17 off the bench. Giannis 14 points, 10 rebounds, 7 assists, but he didn't foul out. So that's progress. Colin Sexton led the Cavs with 18. Tristan Thompson 17-13. Kevin Love 15-16. Just mere hours, Mo, after the Warriors were deemed the worst team in the NBA in the week one power rankings by some idiot at The Athletic. They won a game. No Jrue Holiday, no Derek Favors in this game. Jordan Poole got the start. 45-point second quarter to really push the Warriors out into a big lead in this game. They did give up a 44-point fourth quarter that made it closer than it actually was. Steph Curry, 26-11 and a bloody nose in 31 minutes. D'Angelo Russell, 24 points, 8 assists, 7 rebounds. Triple-double for Draymond Green. Jordan Poole had 13 in his first career start. And Damian Lee with 23 points off the bench, Mo. The Warriors, are they fixed?
No. I mean, I'm not going to start unburying them. Nope, they're not there. It's you played a Pelicans team without Zion, without Jrue Holiday, and without those guys, especially Drew. You kind of
Derek Favors
and no Derek Favors. You can kind of just see the leadership fall apart. I mean, it was basically the Lakers team from last year that couldn't win a game. So, no, they're not fixed yet. This is a nice start. It might be the start of something, but they're not there yet.
JJ Redick, 1 of 9 from deep, 19 points for Jackson Hayes, 15 points from Nikhil Alexander Walker. Pelicans fall to 0-4. Brandon Ingram did have 27, 10, and 6 to lead the Pelicans. Spurs 113, Blazers 110 in San Antonio. Blazers demolished by the Spurs in a 37-23 quarter, but then they got back into it with a random 15-0 run that, Mo, happened when I went and took a shower when I thought the game was over. Dame went nuts in the fourth. 18 of his 28 points came in the final few minutes. He had 9 rebounds, 7 assists. He started 3 of 19 from the field, but finished 9 of 28. He had 3 different chances to tie it. The last one went in and out. Spurs improved to 3-0. An ugly game for the Blazers, but I guess it's encouraging whenever Dame finds that rhythm, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's Dame time, right? That's what they always talk about, and they tap their wrists during the fourth quarter like he's going to get hot and stuff, and he did in this case. He really blew up in the last 4 minutes, was responsible for the Blazers coming back, but you know, you just fall short in those situations, and he's not always going to come through. I thought that last three was in. I thought we were heading to overtime.
Yeah, that thing was in and out, man. I thought it was good.
Yeah, I mean, it was halfway down, pops back out, And, you know, the Spurs kind of got away with, you know, some bad basketball down the stretch. And that's something they're going to have to work on. I mean, they're up 15, man. You can't give up that lead at home in the final few minutes of the game.
Yeah, bench was bad for the Blazers, too. Bazemore was a minus 20. Hezonja was a minus 11. CJ McCollum did have 27 points, 5 assists. He had a pretty good game overall. For the Spurs, DeMar DeRozan, 27 points, 7 rebounds. DeJounte Murray had 7 points, 8 assists, 7 rebounds. 21 off the bench for Derek White. 5 blocks from LaMarcus Aldridge in that game. Nuggets 101, Kings 94. Ugly night. Kings fall apart in the third quarter. They were 9 of 16 from deep in the first half. In the second half, 3 of 21 from downtown. Buddy Hield couldn't buy a shot. I think he missed his first 9 shots in the game. Finished 2 of 13 with 5 points and 5 turnovers. Jamal Murray led the Nuggets with 18. Gary Harris had 17. Jokic, bad shooting night, just 4 of 15. Did have a clutch jumper at the free throw line at one point to help out, but he finished with 9 points, 13 rebounds, only 2 assists. De'Aaron Fox, 20 points and 9 assists for the Kings. Rashawn Holmes had a great game off the bench for them. He was 24 points, 12 rebounds, 2 blocks in 30 minutes in that game, but they needed a lot more than that. The Nuggets remain undefeated at 3-0. Kings playoff aspirations this year, Mo, still haven't won a game. They're 0-4. Another ugly game. Jazz 96, Suns 95. Rubio back from the knee. Second half Suns are becoming a thing, Mo, even though they made mistakes down the stretch and ended up losing another 1-point contest. Jazz had 22 turnovers in that game. Mike Conley still can't buy a shot, but Donovan Mitchell, 25 points, including the game-winning free throw with 0.4 seconds left after Booker fouled him on a drive. But there should have been more time than that. Should have been about 1.4 seconds on the clock. The clock kept running after the foul. The refs didn't review it, which I don't understand why. And the Suns ends up not having enough time to get a shot off. Bojan Bogdanovic had 29 for the Jazz. Rudy Gobert, 15 points, 18 rebounds, was 11 of 12 from the free throw line. Booker, 21 points, but 0 assists, 5 turnovers, needed to take over a little bit more. Kelly Oubre, 18 points on 19 shots. Ricky Rubio, 10 points, 10 rebounds, 8 assists. And then final game of the night, Clippers 111, Hornets 96. Kawhi Leonard, another big game, 30 points, 7 rebounds, 6 assists, 3 steals, 2 blocks. Landry Shamet, 16 points, had 12 early in the game. Another big game for the bench mob for this Clippers team. 23-4-4 for Lou Williams off the bench. Montrezl Harrell had 19-7. Another sloppy game tonight. The Clippers had 22 turnovers in this one. The Terry Rozier experiment, 17 points on 17 shots. Oddly enough, guys, that's progress for Terry Rozier and the Hornets. Cody Zeller, 14-13. Devontae Graham, the real point guard for the Hornets, 14 points, 12 assists off the bench. Hey, the Hornets also had 22 turnovers. Let's go to lines of the night. We got a few to choose from here, Mo. Joel Embiid, 36-13, 5-3. Did have 7 turnovers, though. James Harden, 40 points, 7 assists, 21 of 22 from the line. Dame Lillard, 28-9-7, with a lot of those coming late. Bobby Portis, 28-11, off the bench. Revenge game in the win over the Bulls. Who gets your line of the night, Mo?
I want to go with Embiid, but those turnovers hurt me. And listen, let's be honest. How often are we going to be able to pick a Nick to have the line of the night? Great and point. They won and they win a game. Like, you just kind of have to go with Bobby Portis, you know, 10 of 14 shooting. They get a win. This isn't going to happen very often. Just on that alone, I'm giving it to Bobby Portis. Enjoy yourselves, Nick fans.
You know what? I'm going to give it to a Nick. RJ Barrett, 19 points, 15 rebounds, 5 assists. He had a chance to go 20-15-5, but he missed a couple of free throws late. But RJ Barrett, the rookie, the young guy, I love what he's doing. Give the line of the night to him. We got a real Knicks tape happening here. And that's going to do it for the Daily Ding. Don't forget the other basketball shows, the Athletic Podcast Network. We got Basketball Buds today on this Tuesday. You're not going to want to miss it. J.A. Adonde is our guest. We also have Tampering Pod, House of Strauss, over a dozen team-specific shows from some of your favorite Athletic beat reporters and beat writers, plus me. I'm doing the Jazz one and the Timberwolves one. Mo's doing the Brody and the Beard Rockets podcast. Rockets fans hate them. Make sure to check that out. You can get notifications for all new episodes by clicking follow. Thanks for waking up with us. Take your medicine. Take your vitamins. Eat your Eggos. Go to work. Have a good day. Get ready for basketball Tuesday night. And Mo, you're the guest. You got to hit us with a ding-ding sign-off.
Well, ding-ding.